The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Yes, it is. Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. And unfortunately, I begin today's show with a big I told you so. Because our politicians are making decisions that have some really awful consequences for law-abiding good people in our state. Let me get right to our top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
As we kick things off here in The Big Lead, we have now the best concrete example of the danger of Jay Inslee releasing 1,000 felons from our state prisons because one of them, several have reoffended. We've got an outrageous case that Q13 News broke last night. And David Rose, our buddy at Q13, joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. David, always good to talk with you. Sorry we're talking about another one of these ugly stories, though.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dory. It really is heartbreaking to see this happen. It's exactly what law enforcement sources warned about when the governor announced they were going to release these inmates to create social separation in the jails. On Friday, there was a horrendous attack by one of these rapid release inmates on a woman in Everett. She was sitting on a log after hiking on the interurban trail, checking her phone, and this guy, according to police, came up behind her and just put his hands around her throat and started choking her. She said it was about 30 seconds, but for her it felt much longer. She finally pried his hands off and just screamed bloody murder and then called police. Police tracked this guy down in the woods, and he said he'd been doing meth for 2 weeks and hadn't slept in 7 days.
So tell me a little bit more before we get into more details of this attack. The guy's 33 years old, Matthew Corey. He was in prison for, I know, a lot of crimes, but what was the most recent one?
Yeah, possession of a stolen firearm was why he was in prison, but he also had a residential burglary and identity theft and has a pretty significant felony history. He's a guy that I wouldn't have hesitated to put on Washington's Most Wanted had the Department of Corrections sent him to me in the past saying, you know, he's wanted for violating his parole. Definitely a dangerous guy.
So, and I went through the list, David, of who got released from our prisons, all of them felons. I mean, it's very difficult to get sentenced to prison here in Washington, in King County, with the lowest incarceration rate in the country. We have people with 50 felonies walking around the streets of Seattle. It's tough to get sentenced to prison in the first place. But as I went through this list, David, we have politicians who give us lip service all the time how much they care about guns and gun crimes, and hundreds of the people who got released had multiple gun felonies. And these are the guys that they were putting back on the streets with our law-abiding citizens here.
Yeah, and what I noticed, Dory, is that a lot of the people had these drug offenses, meth and heroin, and those are terrible addictions to try to overcome. And so this guy had torn off his GPS tracker, which he had installed on him when he was released. All of these rapid-release inmates have GPS trackers on them. They have to stay in their home for 23 out of 24 hours. There's really specific rules on them. But what do you do when they just take and cut it off and then take off? And then the officers have to do everything they can to try to track them down while still maintaining their normal caseloads. All of these corrections officers have a bunch more people on their caseloads to supervise because of this rapid release.
Well, and this guy has 11 arrests, 7 felonies, a couple of misdemeanors along with all of that. Okay, so they just turned him loose. You were giving us some of the details. So this woman who was attacked, and all of this, of course, is allegedly, this is from the police documents, but the woman who was attacked, you mentioned he just randomly came up and choked her from behind. Was there any precipitating event before he just started choking the woman?
No, that was the really strange thing, is he just snuck up behind her, according to police. And then when they interviewed him, he said that he didn't even remember doing it, even though they caught him running through the woods. And then he thought, I think he was in such a psychosis, he didn't know what he was doing. And then at the very end, he asked, well, is she okay? So, I mean, he was just completely whacked out of his mind, and that is terrifying. I mean, here she is. It's middle of the day, and she's out taking a nice walk, on a gorgeous day, trying to get some fresh air, and then this happens. One victim is too many because of something like this when he should have been locked up.
He's 33 years old. The victim, the alleged victim, is in her 60s. You tried to get a hold of the governor for an interview. Tell me about that.
Well, you know you're on to a story that is important when nobody wants to go on camera.
Yeah.
So Everett Police declined politely. They provided, the basic information per public request. The governor's office said in a statement that, we had to make tough choices and there was no way to prevent, crimes like this happening overall. But you can read the full statement from the governor's office on our website, to be fair to them, at Q13Fox.com. And we're still waiting for a full response from the Department of Corrections. But I should say here, really, the Department of Corrections, they're just being told by the AG's office and the governor's office what to do. Their jobs are to implement this. So this has nothing to do with anything that the Department of Corrections has done wrong. They're doing the best they can to try to keep track of all these guys.
Well, something struck me, a couple things in the governor's statement to you, though, David. We're talking to David Rose at Q13. They said, in reviewing individuals for potential release from prison, we focused on those individuals who were incarcerated for less serious crimes. We were focused more on offenses involving property rather than crimes against persons. It's so interesting because they talk all the time about we need more gun laws, we need tougher gun laws. This guy was in for gun law violations. He had a gun as a felon. And now the governor is saying that that's a less serious crime. That's just bizarre given their obsession with gun crimes in any other circumstance.
No, I agree with you, Dorian. Also, if anybody's ever been a victim of a burglary or a victim of a robbery or a gun crime or had their gun stolen, any of those crimes, you know what it feels like and you know what a violation that is. And so to say that this is a less serious crime is not true. These are dangerous people. Anybody doing meth and has a history of that, a criminal history of that, and then is also convicted in these other crimes, these are dangerous people. They're only out to feed their needs, and they do not care about the rest of us. And that means eventually somebody's going to get hurt. So I don't know how they picked these names. I've gone through them too, Dory, and I looked at them and I said, you know what? These are all really bad people. I understand they had to create the separation in the prisons, but unfortunately, how do you say that to this woman in her 60s that was attacked on Friday?
Well, and then the last line from the governor's statement: this group of felons that we chose to release, they were chosen to reduce the risk to public safety, but no choice could be made to guarantee that there would never be a new crime committed. Yeah, there was a choice that could be made, and that was to keep them in prison. And what they've inflicted now on innocent people, like this woman in her 60s, who will be traumatized for the rest of her life. She will never feel safe again, just trying to go out and enjoy sunshine and get fresh air and get a little exercise. It's absolutely shameful that we've released these felons onto the street in our state, in my view.
Dory, I hope this is the last case like this we have to talk about, but I worry that as the months stretch on, because a lot of these people had 6 months left on their sentence, we're going to see other cases. I can tell you there's only a handful of them in King and Snohomish County that have gone off the grid. I don't have the specifics on it, but it's not a large number at this point, and the officers are doing everything they can to get them back in custody. My hope is that we don't have somebody get killed or raped or something terrible happen that's even worse than what happened to this poor woman, who's terrified, Dory. She's so frightened. She absolutely did not want to do any part of the story, told police she was scared, and it breaks my heart that she had to go through that.
Yep, you and me both, and I'm sure everyone listening. All right, as always, great work, David. More details on their website at Q13Fox.com. David, it is great work. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Farewell, my friend. Thank you. Have a great day.
David Rose at Q13 News. You can text me, 98973. Give me your thoughts on all of this. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Yeah, and just picking up on this last story as well, what did Jay Inslee think was going to happen? You know, you had a bunch of prisoners, and the fact of the matter is, they don't have great social distancing in prison. Don't get sentenced to prison if you don't like that. But if you are young and somewhat healthy, and a lot of prisoners are, this guy's 33 years old. If he had gotten coronavirus in prison, it would have been like him getting a bad cold or the flu. But instead, Jay Inslee makes the decision, no, let's release him on the streets. He hasn't had treatment for his meth addiction. What did Jay Inslee think was going to happen with the 1,000 prisoners that he has released? They are back out, and we've had several cases now where they've recommitted crimes. We knew they were going to. How many have committed crimes and have not been caught? We certainly don't have that total, but I guarantee it's a significant number. But what did he think was going to happen when you release meth-addicted felons who are in for being a felon with a stolen gun? What do you think was going to happen when this guy got released? It was as predictable as the sunrise. And yet, for some reason, we've decided to inflict this on people like the 60-year-old woman. She's never going to want to go for a walk on a beautiful day again by herself. She was just on a trail, a walking trail in Everett, when this guy starts choking her out from behind. And that's when I look at, there's brand new polls out today. Jay Inslee has a 63% approval rate in Washington. And as you know, I just don't approve of this absolute destruction of our economy. I don't approve with letting felons out of prisons. They can choke out women in their 60s. I don't approve of threatening to put business owners in jail when we let gun felons and sex offenders out of prison. None of this makes any sense to me. And I know that there are some talk show hosts that say, oh man, 63% approve of Inslee. I better tone down my criticism. I might lose the people since so many approve. I am never going to let polls determine the course of this radio show because my view on the world is sincerely arrived at. You might disagree with it at times. Maybe you disagree with it a lot. But it's sincerely arrived at, and it is never driven by what I think popular opinion is. But here's what I have noticed, that we do have a media that has decided, quite consciously, to really bolster the governor. You know, he suspends competitive bidding on medical contracts, and then he tries to get his cousin's company to the top of the list before other people said, whoa, this isn't right. But he tried to, you know, use nepotism, cronyism. In my view, it's corrupt to use your private email to communicate with a cousin and his business and then try to bump it up to the top of the state for million-dollar contracts. And then, I mean, that just barely scratches the surface. But he talks about all these things in the name of public health, and there's no consistency. You know, government workers could continue doing their job while private sector continues to be unemployed at record levels. We have these tent encampments where you know disease can run rampant. And we have all these politicians, Seattle City Council people, who say, we're not going to sweep these encampments. And yet we've got snitch lines. Bellevue has a snitch line. If you see a neighbor and they have friends over in the backyard and they're not wearing masks and they're not within 6 feet of each other, call the snitch line. But the heroin addicts on the street, we will leave them unmolested by government. And, you know, the media just is framing. The media hates Donald Trump. And so the way they ask questions, you know, like at the president's press conference yesterday.
Mr. President, why haven't you announced a plan to get 36 million unemployed Americans back to work? You're overseeing historic economic despair. What's the delay? Where's the plan?
I think we've announced a plan. We're opening up our country. Just a rude person you are. We're opening up our country.
It is. It's just, that's a nasty question. He's announced all these plans to reopen the country. But just compare that to the softballs that get lobbed at Jay Inslee when he has an Olympia press conference.
Governor, when it comes to contact tracing, how are you guys going to handle people or families who want to refuse a test or to self-isolate if they want to leave their home to get groceries? I know you've said they can't do that. How will you make sure they don't?
Has there been any idea, suggestion from your office to counties about the potential for so-called streeteries? Like Calgary has adopted a model where they've opened up streets to allow for restaurants to have more space when they do reopen.
Governor, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services put out a statement today that it's delivering $177 million in new funding to Washington to support testing. I'm wondering what impact this will have.
Oh, hi, Governor.
Okay, it's just, and it's on, and it's just all very, you know, we're on your side. And when you bolster the governor and don't question the things that we've been questioning on this show, like, you know, getting his cousin to the top of the list, and of course, his public approval is going to reflect what the media is doing, as is Trump's. You know, Trump doesn't have high public approval because the media hates him. And anyway, I'm not going to let polls determine if I should criticize the governor on any issue. I will be supportive of things that I think he does well, and I will continue to criticize, despite the polling, the things that I find very disturbing going on as we destroy our economy in this region. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Good, check the news for you. We have another politician, an Olympia City Councilwoman, who is publicly announcing that she is a thief, a criminal, by refusing to pay rent that she can afford to pay. She has refused our invitations to come on the show, but her landlord is going to tell us all about it. That's coming up next as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. As we told you yesterday afternoon, we have some politicians who have decided that they're just not going to follow certain laws. And if it's a barber in Snohomish, Jay Inslee wants to put him in jail for ignoring the law. In Olympia, it's something much different, very troubling. In Olympia, city councilwoman has decided to just stop paying her rent. She says that during coronavirus, she wants everybody to participate in a rent strike. She wants everybody to stop paying their rent. And this woman, Renata Rollins, she admits she has money in the bank. She can afford to pay her rent. She just doesn't want to do it. Her landlord is on the line with me. His name is Zach Costuros, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Zach, thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I know I used harsh words there. I'm calling this woman a criminal, a thief, but everything I said is true about her, isn't it?
Yeah, she certainly did let us know that she wouldn't be paying her rent. She wrote a public article prior to that telling her constituents that she thought the best plan of action to solve the housing problem, as she saw it, was to create a rent strike and advocate for a mortgage moratorium, and that the best way to do that would be to have, you know, everybody who sees things the way she does just not pay their rent. And the thing that I want people to understand is not paying rent, especially when you have the ability, is no different than walking into Starbucks and telling them that you'd like a coffee and then walking out and telling them you're not going to pay them. It's just not the right thing to do.
Well, and it's on a much grander scale, too, because we're talking about a factor of, 100 times more when you don't pay your rent. So has she communicated directly with you about not paying her rent?
No, and that was one of the things that was pretty frustrating to me and to my company, is that every other tenant who has reached out to us and said they were falling, you know, hard times and weren't able to pay their rent, we've communicated with, we've tried to work with them the best we can. And with Renata, we never received that correspondence until after she had posted her public article telling everybody else to do what she was doing. And it was just real unfortunate, because she's trying to convey that landlords and tenants don't like each other and there's always this awful conflict. And the reality is the vast majority of landlords and tenants get along pretty darn well. And it's a very good exchange of services and dollars, if you will. And we get along with most of our tenants. And it's just unfortunate that we have somebody, especially somebody of influence in our community, really trying to rile people up for a cause that I think misconstrues the reality of the industry and of landlords and tenants. And I think it creates conflict that just doesn't need to exist. And certainly it doesn't need to exist in times like these.
Well, and what makes this all the much worse is you also have Jay Inslee and the state saying that they have put in an eviction moratorium. So even somebody, and she's still working as a city council person, she has another gig in addition to that, and they have said, even people who can pay their rent, you are legally not allowed to evict her for the time being. And as far as I see it, and I'm not the greatest legal scholar, but I know how to read, how is that not a taking by the state of your private property when they are telling you that you essentially must allow deadbeats to live rent-free?
Yeah, I think we'll probably end up seeing some litigation over that, because I think if you live in the circles of real estate, there are lots of attorneys and lots of people who own real estate who feel the same way. This is a taking of property without due compensation, as typically would be the case. And I think it's very short-sighted. The policy, maybe it was good and well-intended. I can't speak for the governor, but I would say that the implementation of it was so flawed that it's just not right. I mean, it's not that hard to say we're not going to allow you to be evicted if you can't pay your rent. And if you've gone out and you've tried to get the resources that are available, if you still can't do it, here's what we're going to do for you. But to just create this broad brush stroke that says no matter what, your landlord is going to be in a position where they can't get you out of the unit, even in a situation like this, if you have the money, you refuse to pay rent. And not only do you refuse to pay rent, but then you try and get a whole bunch of other people to do it. The fact that nobody from the state leadership side has come out and said, this is not right, this is not what we intended for, we're going to modify the language of the order, I think is very, very unfortunate. And for people in my industry and people who are being harmed by this, it's not right.
Well, and take me through the flow of money. So she writes you a check every month, and you, in turn, I presume you're carrying paper on this property, and do you have a mortgage on this piece of property that she's renting from you?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. So she writes you a check. You are obligated to make a mortgage payment to the bank, and now she wants you to have to make that payment without any income stream from her. I mean, that is just pure stealing. And I find it particularly disturbing and distressing, Zach, when we're talking about an Olympia City Councilwoman who is advocating stealing from one of her constituents. This is a really dangerous path we're on here.
Yeah, and, you know, I've read comments in various places where people think that landlord's got some mortgage moratorium. Well, if you don't have a mortgage that's backed by or essentially owned by Freddie or Fannie, there is no mortgage moratorium. And even if you do, most of those come due in a balloon payment at the end of the 3 months. And even after that, the reality is exactly what you said. Even if we had a mortgage moratorium, which we don't, we'd still have property taxes. I'm pretty sure the government still wants to get paid. We'd still have utility services to pay for, maintenance bills to pay for, all these different bills to pay for. And they don't go away. We don't make 100% profit on every dollar that comes in the door. Most properties, we manage about 1,500 apartment units in the area, and most properties maybe have a profit margin after all the expenses are paid, after the mortgage and everything is taken care of around 10%. So you start talking about, let's say, 10, 20, 30% of people stop paying rent, you have a real problem on your hands. And if you think the housing crisis is bad now, it's going to get really bad if you tank the whole thing.
Well, and it's also so capricious that she can just arbitrarily decide, I'm not going to pay Zach the rent that is due him. If you, in turn, said, I'm not going to pay any city taxes. If the city can decide to just not pay certain bills, if a city councilwoman can decide that, you could decide to not pay any city taxes. Of course, the difference is, if you don't pay your taxes, eventually armed police officers are going to come to your house and they're going to drag your butt off to jail because you're not paying your bills. But for a city councilwoman, she seems like she's fully planning on being immune from any sort of prosecution.
Yeah, well, and one of the things that I haven't shared yet is, in addition to what she told us about not paying rent, when she responded to our request for more information, which is what we always do when somebody reaches out and says that they are not able to pay their rent, she went further to say that she hoped that her landlord would support her in this and her party, essentially, in the special session for pushing for a capital gains tax so that we could provide more resources to people in need. So to use your political influence to push an agenda and openly state it in writing, and then assume like your landlord actually thinks the same way you do about, let's say, a capital gains tax, I mean, it's just not right. This is not how we should be communicating about policy. It's not how we should be communicating about our differences. It's like extortion.
Well, it is. And it's just this radical leftist agenda. Well, if with politicians who are interested in doing their job, the Olympia City Police or the Thurston County Sheriff, they should be at Renata Rollins' home today, and they should arrest her. They should drag her butt off to jail because she's a deadbeat. She's a city councilwoman who has decided that that just being a common thief is acceptable. And we have tried to get her on the show. We've been trying for 2 days. I would love to talk with her. I would love to get her perspective on this. I assume she is too cowardly to try to defend the indefensible, but I have an open invitation to Renata Rollins to come on and explain why she's making being a thief part of her public policy as a Olympia City Council member. Zach, would you keep me posted if anything transpires in any direction on this? I'd love to follow up on this.
Certainly. My hope is that she will give me a call and tell me she's ready to, you know, make things right and pay her rent as I think is the right thing to do. And that's been pretty well backed up, I think, by the comments and the feedback that we've received from what we've put out there. And that's my hope, that we can put this behind us and that she can choose a different path of leadership with regard to how to handle things like paying your bills.
Yeah, no, just something basic like that. All right, City of Olympia, you have a criminal. You have a thief as one of your council members, and you should not tolerate that. Her name is Renata Rollins. Her landlord is Zach Costouris. Zach, good talk with you. We'll stay in touch, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I'm getting a lot of feedback from you on the interview we just had with the landlord in Olympia, Olympia City Councilwoman Renata Rollins, has declared publicly that she is a thief, that she is a criminal. She has money in the bank, and she's just choosing not to pay her rent. And this is illustrative of a much bigger problem. And this is what's being cultivated by politicians in our region. And that is, I don't feel like paying my rent. Well, can you afford to? Yeah, but I don't feel like it. And I should only do things that I feel like doing. And that's why they're pushing for, they want to raise taxes on big business so they can cut checks, $500 a month, to illegals and to heroin addicts on the streets. They want to just transfer money. Does that make sense for us as an economy, as a society? No, but it feels good. Wouldn't it feel good if you could take your tax money and give it to an illegal? And here's that Olympia City Councilwoman, Renata Rollins. She told King 5 that she has the money to pay her rent. She just doesn't feel like
it. Are you able to pay your rent today? Or were you able to pay your rent on the 1st of May?
It's a question of if I have money in the bank or if I could find money from family. Yeah, I have the money in the bank.
She has money to pay her rent. She doesn't feel like it. Will she pay her June rent?
I haven't decided. And I think I'll have to work that out with the landlord.
Is this the society we want? I haven't decided if I'm going to pay my bills. This is insanity, this path we're on. And this isn't some, just random wacko. This is an elected Olympia City Councilwoman, Renata Rollins. She should be in jail, not representing the people of Olympia. And the Fast 15 is coming up next.